Hi, welcome to the Interviews with the Haunting Masters, brought to you by Phoenix Shooting Bags and Sneak Tech Sneak Boot. Today we're going to talk a little bit about extreme shooting, long ranges, extreme angles, stuff like that. And I got my friends on from Mesa Precision Arms, my buddy John, and we're going to tackle some questions. But first, before we get into that, what's going on, John? How are you?
Good man, how are you? Appreciate you having us on here.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I mentioned to you before I hit the record button here that my son's homesick, so we might get interrupted here. This might be like the most unprofessional podcast I ever did, but there he goes. I hear him yelling over there. I might have to go back and do some editing. Anyhow, why don't you give us a little rundown about yourself and Mesa Precision?
Yeah, man. It all started off as Western big game hunting was pretty much the big driver behind what we do here. I was passionate about chasing, big mule deer and elk, in the home state of Colorado, and back in the early 2000s when I was able to utilize and go by myself growing up, technology and the rifles that we had back then just weren't adequate for precision long range shooting, and everybody's used to holding over and doing this crazy stuff that we used to do back in the day. And a stint in the Marine Corps in the early 2000s brought to light the capabilities of long range capabilities and how I could utilize that in my big game hunting, and how that would help me utilize killing those more mature animals. I'm a public land hunter. I had to grind it out like everybody else did, but if I could extend my range that 600-700 yard distance, I just can't imagine what animals I could have killed. So that was the driving force behind where we're at today. So.
Nice. And as I promised, my son is interrupting us. Give me one second because I think he just threw yogurt all over
Okay,
the
dude. Sounds good.
couch. Hold on. Finish your yogurt. All right, let's see. Apologize.
You're fine.
You like that deer?
Yeah, he's got it. That's an antelope he's got over there. He's antelope behind him. Yeah, I got an antelope too. Yeah, here. Watch that. Be a good boy.
Okay.
All right, guys. Sorry about that.
You're good.
So before we get into some of these other questions, I want to talk to you a little bit about BC and how that translates into accurate shooting. What does that mean with my gun and barrel selection and grain selection of the bullet and so on and so forth.
Yeah, man, it's a huge topic in our world, and it's something we fight as a gun builder, and nowadays the public knows what ballistic coefficient is, and companies know how to market that, and the higher the number, the more appealing the bullet, and there's a lot of how do I say this? Other things that go along with that. Our high ballistic coefficient bullets are heavier bullets, so our velocities at the muzzle may not be as intriguing to some people. And then also the twist rates of barrels, we're having to go to faster twist rates. And there's a lot of companies that sell production rifles, I'll call them, or rifles that you pull off the shelf at your local sporting goods store can't stabilize. So the public runs into problems with that too. So, we want the highest ballistic coefficient we can get, but we want to still maintain what our platform is designed and built for. So, downrange efficiency of a high ballistic coefficient bullet will outperform a very fast, low ballistic coefficient bullet every day. It's just that at what yardage, and usually it's that 500 to 600 yard range is when we start to see those slower high BC bullets really to take over for sure.
Yeah, and that's because they're obviously more aerodynamic and they're easy. Are they easier to stabilize or they're less stable? Or they're, because I don't know, I keep getting confused about, because I feel, well, I know it's a heavier bullet. You tend to have, you have to spin it faster, right?
Yeah,
To stabilize it.
it's just we have to grow the bullet longer and sleeker to be able to make it more efficient to fit the caliber. So, I mean, just I guess picture a I don't know a jet compared to a cargo airliner, or it's basically they both do the same thing, but which one's more efficient going through the air? And that's basically what the bullet's doing. And it's harder to stabilize a high ballistic coefficient bullet because it's so sleek, and it's a very long, sleek bullet. That's why the twist rates to get it go. We want to have, there's a lot of things, gyroscopic spin. There's a cool app on Berger's website. I want everybody to probably go look at. It really answers a lot of questions, but it's the it basically factors in what twist rate you need for what bullet, and it really teaches you what altitude and temperatures and humidity does to the stability of your bullet. So it'd be pretty cool.
Well, that's cool. So let me get into this a little bit too. So let's we started talking a little bit about bullet designs. How does one go about? Do you have like a formula of how you choose what's best, for hunting situation? How do I want to word this basically? Do you have like a checklist or something like, just that gives you a starting point. You say, I hunt this kind of environment, let's say, and I mostly hunt deer and elk. What
What bullet
caliber
I'm
do
going
I
with?
go
Yeah.
for? And then once I figure out what caliber I want, what grain bullet am I shooting? What style of bullet am I shooting? And then obviously then the gun tells you the rest, I would imagine.
Yeah, right. So, basically it all boils down to, what we see most popular, what we've seen building is, we build a certain amount of calibers that pretty much conquers everything on the US, in the US or even in Africa and stuff like that, and what that mix of stuff is. And it all stays around the same parameter. I shoot, let's for example, we'll use the 6.5 PRC. It's a very hot item right now, very popular. People are wanting to know, so what bullet should we use? Well,
Well, John, I lost you.
you there?
I am here. I lost you
Okay,
for a
you want me
second.
to start over? I can.
Yeah, go ahead, pick it up from right there.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, the 6.5 PRC, we're going to want to, Hornady has a great formula with their 143, ELDX, and their 147. What bullet would I use on animals? I can tell you right now that we've killed a lot of animals with both, from Mexico to Alaska. I've sent them over to Africa with hunters, and they've just
I
now.
lost. I lost you again. Somebody trying to call you?
Oh, yeah, dude, this is gonna be a pain in the butt.
That's
Man, I'm sorry.
okay.
I'll just keep on going, I guess, and see what you can use out of it. But we're able to take animals now with lighter grain bullets than we ever have due to energy. So 143, 147 grain bullet, we're killing elk effectively at 600 to 700 yards. We're killing mule deer at 800 yards, and they're dead on impact. We're not seeing, it's all about shot placement and stuff like that. So, and before we were using 300 Win Mags with 215 grain Bergers, which is a actual target bullet, but we've killed so many animals with them, we've actually learned that the target bullet is just as effective or more effective than the hunting line of things. And this is through us actually doing it. It's not from from guessing. So there's a
Right.
I don't think people should get wrapped around, you know, what bullet and what marketing and what is out there that they see. I think they need to kind of to utilize what works for them, you know, and just stick with it. So, but
So
that's my
that being
fastest.
said, what do you suggest somebody do to kind of figure that out? I mean, aside from
I
going
mean,
to get 20 different boxes of bullets and shooting them all.
yeah, I mean, consult with people like myself. There's a lot of good people out there that have killed a lot of critters, you know, and at long ranges and even close ranges, you know, and we're here to tell you, we want it, our hunters to be successful because we need that, you know, that's where our product needs to shine. So we don't tell stories just to sell stuff. I have no affiliation with no bullet manufacturer where I get anything for free. So I'll tell what I use what works. For me, the honest to God's truth, the Target line, the hybrid line of bullets from Berger has worked phenomenally over the years. You know, the ELDM Hornady 147s have killed a lot of animals for us at long range and performed well. You know, we've strayed away from Nosler Acubons and some other things like that, and we've kind of just stuck with Berger and some of the new Hornady stuff. And I'm gonna be honest with you, the 143 ELDX and some of the other ELDX bullets haven't performed the way I like to see, but that's just for me. You know, we probably have got 20 to 25 big game animals killed at distances from 100 to, you know, 700-800 yards with them. So we don't have a ton of data, but we do have some. So it's all about that data research
I'm sorry, so
and
you said you weren't really happy with the ELDX?
not particularly
Okay.
on bigger game. On elk, I really struggle. We killed a bull at 500 and I think it was 540 yards with a 6.5 Creedmoor with the 143, and it performed really good. But then we had jacket separation on some other animals where it shedded its weight too fast. It really didn't do. It killed the animal efficiently, but not as efficiently as we think it could have if it would have stayed together.
Gotcha. Yeah, I actually shot a bull. Mind you, I was at 60 yards, but I shot a bull with the ELDX out of the 6.5 Creedmoor, and that thing just like exploded. There was little
Grenade.
bits and pieces everywhere. Yeah, it was a grenade.
Yeah.
And I ruined a lot of meat. I shot him three times too, because I shot him once and he was stumbling, and I thought he was going to take a nosedive off this cliff over there, and I wanted to just anchor him before he got there, so I shot him again. Nothing happened, and he's still going towards that edge, so I put a third one in him, and that finally he dropped on the ground, and I destroyed, like, I don't know, probably 35, 40% of his freaking meat. I was so pissed,
Yeah, man.
but
That's
we've used
it.
them on coos deer a bunch out here and shot. I mean, my cousin last year shot 902. He shot his buck with that
And it did good,
ELDX.
right?
Yep, dropping his tracks, just boom, just.
Yeah, that's what we
So I
saw
think it, I
too.
mean, that's what it's designed for. I think it's designed for extreme long range, you know, just like it says in the, or extremely low drag is what that stands for, I guess. But I think at those shorter distances, I think under 400 yards, they're probably not the best bullet.
Yeah, and it's not, but I've also had failures from companies I've already mentioned that I like, you know, at close ranges. So I think every situation's different. I think shot placement and where us as hunters, when we take that shot, where the bullet's gonna contact, you know, a severe quartering away shot is gonna start the bullet opening up or doing its job a lot quicker if it's a direct, you know, broadside shot. So you know, it's stuff like that we don't realize, especially when we shoot animals. Like just last week, we shot a buck at 480, and it was quartering away hard. And I thought, I swear it was, you know, completely broadsides, but it was a perfect shot. But that bullet traveled an extra 10 inches of deer than we thought it would, and the bullet did good. But just stuff like that, you know, it's hitting three to four ribs going down the line of side of it, as opposed to just punching through maybe one, if not or none. If it's broadside all the way, so, but yeah,
That
man.
makes sense. Cool. Let's switch gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about elevation and temperature and stuff and how that affects trajectory and how, what some of the stuff we've been talking about comes into play.
Yeah, man. Like how elevation and temperatures affect the bullet and drop and all that stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I mean, we deal with it all the time. We, hunt down in Mexico at, 2,000 foot elevation sometimes, and up, and up here we hunt all the way up to 13,000 feet. So, if there's a huge change in what your bullet's going to do impact wise. Point of impact from where you shoot, and it's all about collecting the data you need and that works. So we use handheld, we use Kestrels pretty much everywhere. It's not the most efficient, but it works every time perfectly. There's a lot of apps out there, but I got to tell you, a 2 to 3,000 foot elevation difference versus a 10,000 foot is a huge spread. But the surprising thing is it's all about density altitude. It's actually what the perceived density is where you're shooting. So you could be at 10,000 feet and it could be, 2 degrees outside, and it's more act like you're at 5,000 feet. You know what I mean? The density
Got it.
altitude is. And then so, but sometimes when you're down, low at 2,000 feet and it's 95 or 105, it could be like you're shooting at 10,000 feet. So those two drop charts will actually coincide with each other to a certain extent. And we get kind of wrapped around the axle about chasing, oh, the temperature changed by 5 degrees, and or we just dropped 1,000 feet. I think I've learned over the years that you could have a good drop chart. You could probably do it in 1,000 foot increments if you wrote it down, and still be effective. You could probably do it in 2,000 foot increments. But long story short, it's we're fortunate nowadays to have the technology at our hands compared to what it was 10 to 15 years ago when we're using the old program. So, but no, it's a huge deal. And as hunters, we have to, know where we're at, how to utilize the data, and to make it more, to make it to where we can make our longest range, most effective shot, So that's about pretty much it, But temperature is probably the number one thing on that.
Yeah, so one of the things, and I know I like to keep things simple, simple as possible. I'm definitely not the one to sit there and, punch into my phone or into an app or whatever to get a, a readout or whatever. And I understand that that's super important, especially if you're shooting, those 800, 900 yard shots, whatever. I've always been, and if you think this is bad advice, I want you to say it. You're not going to hurt my feelings. For me personally, I've always been this, like, I do this with my bows. I do it with almost everything I do. I do what's called the happy medium, I kind of take the averages of everything that I normally do. So I try to sight my gun in at 5,000 feet because I know I spend a lot of time at that 2 to 5,000 feet with the rifle, but I also hunt a lot at 7, 8, and 9,000 feet. So I kind of, and I try to do it on days where, I'm in that 40 degree-ish weather. And I know, humidity has a lot to do with it, barometric pressure, all that crap, but I just try to pick the most in the middle average, and that's my starting point. So that now I use the Husqvarna system, so I got a turret on there.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
got the double turret actually, so I got from 2,000 to like 6,000 feet, and then I got from 7,000 feet to 11,000 feet on my drop compensation, but. For me, I found I have yet to take a shot that I physically didn't pull myself. I feel that all my shots go where I want them to go using that type of a mentality. Because I know there's so many guys out there. There's a large group. Obviously, you guys wouldn't be in business if there wasn't the Precision Hunter group out there. There's a large group of people out there that love to tinker. They love to play with the gadgets. They love to, you know, my cousin Joe's that way. I mean, he'll sit there for 15 minutes watching an animal, and he'll punch in every number and come up the most perfect dope you can possibly imagine. Dope in the wind, dope in, you know, and that's him. He loves doing that. Me, it would drive me crazy for me to be within range for 10 minutes knowing that I could just be laying down squeezing the trigger right now.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of the way I am. Consequently, he lost a really big deer yesterday because it took him too long to set up. He gave me a call last night. He's like, man, if I had a few more minutes, it would have been done. I'm like, when he told me the story, I didn't want to make him feel bad. He's going to feel bad after he listens to this. But when he told me the story, all I could think about in my head was like, dude, it's because it took you 15 minutes to set up on him. I mean, come on.
No, that's it, man. No, the name of our game is, you know, target acquisition, which is a deer, elk, whatever we're hunting, and the time it takes to get that shot off, and it has to be quick. And what your method is perfect. I mean, Husqvarna does, you know, has done a great job of what, you know, harnessing that easy technology. In my opinion, they really did a good job, and they keep on innovating with that stuff. The turrets are very popular in our business. A lot of customers, you know, want them. And like I said, you could have a turret at 10,000 feet and still probably use it at 5,000 feet just due to that density altitude difference. You know, they don't sell it as that, but that's what it is. And and so it works, dude. I mean, and I'm with you. I mean, we all have to be realistic with each other. You know, we're not going to take shots at animals that are obscene. You know, our effective range is our effective range. Some people it's 500 yards, some people it's, you know, past 1,000. But no matter how good a shooter you are, you know, the environment, the wind is going to dictate how far you shoot effectively, no matter what. So, or your shooting position. So we all have to be honest with ourselves in this line of work. And the way you do it is great, because you use it and you practice it and it works, you know. And that's the biggest thing that I could tell everybody. Whatever your method is, you have to do it as quickly and as efficiently as possible to get that round, you know, downrange and shoot that deer, because it could be a deer of a lifetime that you mess up on because you're dinking around. So,
yeah,
I get it. No, it all sounds good the way you do your stuff, and it works for you. So
cool. That's validation. I appreciate that. So talk to me a little bit about it, shooting at extreme angles. I think mainly this was a rangefinder error, but I was in Mexico a few years back, and I missed at a range that I don't usually miss at. And I missed a buck three times, not once, but three times. And it was a very extreme angle. And looking back, I try to figure out what the issue was. I'm convinced that the rangefinder wasn't giving me the right solution, but or the right yardage. But tell me some of the things and some of the steps and whatnot that one would need to go through or should go through. What are some of the things that you should do in those extreme angle situations?
You know, the biggest thing is, if we're not talking past 500 or 600 yards, you know, the rule of thumb, shooting downhill or uphill, is your impact's going to be high. Your bullet's not affected by the Earth's gravity nearly as much or as long in those distances. So basically what we need to do is we need to, you know, accommodate for that. And by doing that, our validation is, well, how much angle affects the bullet, how much. So at 500 or 600 yards, if we're at a 30 to 40 degree angle, I don't have a calculator in front of me, a ballistic calculator, you know, we're probably going to move, you know, a minute to three quarters of a minute down. And what does that mean? What's a minute at 600 yards? So that's 6 inches roughly. So, you know, if you have center mass on the mule deer, that could possibly mean a miss is if you're holding there. So basically a computation of down at some degree, I would not probably give up hair, as we call it, as in I would not aim below. I would probably just take a few clicks off the scope and just hold set where I was going to shoot originally. When we start to, you know, and people talk about angles like, oh, it was a 1,000 yard shot and it was a 50-degree, 60-degree angle. That's pretty much, that's all impossible to find those situations a lot of times. So maybe the angle is not as much as we think it is a lot. So maybe we overcompensate the other way too. But long story short is if you're shooting downhill or uphill, you're gonna hit at some you know, you're gonna hit high, and the distance is gonna distance between you and the animal is gonna elevate that how high you're gonna hit. And the biggest thing I can say is getting familiar with your system, your rifle, your ammo or your load, and running it through your ballistic calculator and seeing what those differences are. And a lot of people will be surprised. It's not as much as you think it is. And so, I mean, that's how I work it. I swag it. So basically, I'll just, you know, if I'm shooting and I know it's 500 yard shot, it's a pretty good angle. I'm guessing it's about 30 degrees. I'm probably gonna knock about 5 inches off, so about a minute of ankle, and I'll just hold center mass and shoot. It's worked for me all the time in the past, but I've also missed those shots because I was sitting there with my calculator and cosine indicator and all this craziness, and it actually I couldn't even shoot because the animal's gone. So rule of thumb is that's what we do. So it's just practice, you know. We've got tons of rounds practicing, so now we're seasoned a little bit. We understand what's going to happen. That's all I can tell people to do, honestly. So
I want to talk a little bit about your rifles. You guys created, or developed, I should say, your own action, right?
correct. We
That's the
designed an
crux.
action. Yeah, the Crux action. We did. It was a brainchild that we wanted to get in the in going. The biggest thing we were fighting with other manufacturers is the lead times of components. So we were unable to get rifles completed and out to the customer in a timely manner. So basically, you know, we went and designed our own action. We have it made to our specifications, and now our lead times have cut down dramatically.
Now, I'm trying to remember. Did you guys put a did you guys code it differently so that it would slide, it would slide in and out better?
Yeah, so basically, you know, our titanium Crux action, it's titanium. I don't know if we mentioned that. You know, the biggest problem that people foresee with that is it's a very sticky bolt. It has, you know, the action's not smooth at all, and it's not very effective, and it gums up easy. So what we've developed and able to do is come up with a, you know, a diamond-like coated bolt or a DLC coated bolt that runs like glass. I have people that can't even tell it between a stainless steel action.
Sorry about that, bud.
Oh, you're fine.
He's on fire today.
Hello.
His iPad's not working for him, so he's pissed off. Okay, go sit
Yeah, get
down.
him lined out, man. Come on, Dad.
That is failing miserably today. I'm trying to be dad, I'm trying to be pool builder, trying to be podcaster and everything else today. And then I got my stupid dogs that won't shut up.
Hey Chad, do we have a little extension cord or anything? Because this thing's
All
working.
right.
I'm back, man.
All right. Well, I'm definitely not going to release this as a video podcast because I'm going to have to do a crap ton of editing to make this thing sound remotely good.
Right.
anyway. Okay. So, I'm really curious to play around with that, with your gun. One of your guns, man. I know you guys put together Anthony's gun at Phoenix Shooting Bags. I love that gun. That gun, yeah, shoots like lights out. It's ridiculous. I sent you those videos of my nephew shooting that coos deer at like 700 yards. 14-year-old
kid.
Yeah,
man. That's what it's all about, right?
One
there.
Shot, boom, done. That was pretty cool. So I always like to have people share a hunting story. Since we talked about extreme angles, if you got one with the extreme angle, or if you have one that kind of like changed the way you hunt today, you know, it was I hate to use the word aha moment, but like an aha moment or something, or just a unique experience, whatever. Any of those will do.
Yeah, man. I probably got a million of them that didn't work out that great, but like the culmination of what we do here for me and the solidify what we're doing is correct. And the rifles we build is, you know, I'm hunting Colorado, you know, it's a late season elk hunt. It's over the counter tag, you know, it's just all those things are up against you on that type of stuff to be successful. Successful regardless if you know what it's like hunting in Colorado over the counter. But you know, I utilized an area where we had to hike in 3 to 4 miles, and it was a perfect scenario for these elk to be stacked up in there. And you know, we started in at 6,000 feet and ended up at 9,500 feet. So now we're getting into change of altitude for ballistics that we talked about and stuff. And then temperatures were frigid. You know, we're living in a 2-man tent, you know, pretty rough. And, you know, I said, you know what, I really want to get that. We all want that long range shot. We do all this practice and all this testing and the building and all this stuff goes into it. And, you know, I was presented with a shot that was, you know, 780 yards. It was at it was about a 15-degree angle down, and it was a bull that was feeding, you know, and I had a 300 wind mag. I was shooting 215 grain burgers. Mm-hmm. You know, it was our Crux rifle build. It was what we culminated that we wanted to do that we are doing now. It's just a proof research barrel. It was a titanium action. It was a McMillan carbon fiber stock. So anyway, the gun weighed 6.5 pounds. Mm-hmm. Had a Night Forest on it at the time. And anyway, all that's come together, got a good shooting position, dialed in what I was given ballistically, and the bull just dropped in his tracks right there. And he, you know, a good shoulder shot, he died. And at that point, you know, I was like, you know, this is real. This is not fallacy, you know. It was really meant a lot to me. It wasn't the biggest bull in the world. It just, it was a good bull, though, for over the counter. So, that kind of solidified what we're doing, you know, and that's only one. I mean, another one would be the first long range animal I killed that I meant to. And that was a cow elk at 893 yards. Wow. And I haven't taken a shot that far since. It was 2 degrees outside. It was a late season cow elk hunt. And that was another one that really stood out to me that when I started, you know, this journey, I guess you could say, and this was back in 2007. And so where we've went from there to where we are now, it's pretty amazing, actually. So we're, you know, it's pretty much the two hunts that really, you know, solidified what we do.
It's so validating, you know.
Yeah.
You've got this idea, you've done the practice, you've built the platform, and then, you know, you finally take it out in the field. And it all comes together like it was in your head, you know, and it's Those are always the most rewarding, I think. I just experienced that myself in New York, and I took my recurve to go hunting, and this is something I've been thinking about for years and years and years. And because I started hunting with a recurve back in the 80s, and I never killed anything. And so for me to get it done after kind of having this concept in my head, this idea in my head, and just it coming to fruition, it's amazing. I can sympathize or empathize with what those meant to you. Hey guys, just a real quick break. Pardon the interruption. I want to talk to you about becoming a patron of the show. It's super easy. You just go to the Interviews with the Hunting Masters on my Podbean account, and at the top right-hand corner, you'll see a green button that says "Become a Patron." Or if you're using the Podbean app, it's right there. Just click on the button, "Become a Patron," from any of the episodes. I really go out of my way not to bombard you with a bunch of ads and clutter up the episodes. I really like to keep it as educational and as valuable as possible. I'd like to add to that value by adding some bonus episodes that are going to be just for the patrons only. I'm going to release a few that are strictly for those of you who have contributed to the podcast. It really goes a long way, and I want to say it again that even $1 a month, pledging $1 a month, $12 a year may not seem like a whole lot, but it means the world to me. It helps me take care of the cost of producing this show, and I really appreciate it, and I'd appreciate you guys. Thanks for listening, and let's get back to this episode. So I understand you guys have we talked about your action a little bit, but I understand that you guys actually came out with your own stocks as well, right? I forgot to
Oh yeah,
mention that earlier.
that's right, man. Yeah, it's crazy. It's been a 6 to 8 month not struggle, but it's been a process. We're trying to refine those components that are critical to lead times of rifles, and everybody knows that to get a McMillan stock or a Mander stock or something like that, you're looking at 6 months, before you get it. So we have done extensive work in the past with stock manufacturers and companies distribution wise. So we're like, you know what, let's just design our own. We teamed up with AG Composites and with a carbon fiber stock. Dave and Matt have been phenomenal down on there. And long story short is we think we designed the one of the best long range light ultra lightweight stocks out there, and
What is it
it
weigh?
works perfect. We're looking our max weight is 27 ounces. You know,
Maybe, yeah. Okay.
they range around 24 usually. They're inletted for Remington 700 short and long actions, and then all the Remington clones, and also we got Tika T3 out, so for all the Tika
Nice.
guys out there. So but it's been very
You don't
it's
happen
been
to have a stock that would fit my I have a 22-250. That's a CZ Varmatier. The 550, yeah, I think it's called a Varmatier. It might be Varmint, 550 Varmint. Giant, heavy bull barrel on it. It's got this super heavy laminate stock on it, and the whole gun weighs like, with the scope and everything, is like 17 pounds. I mean, it's freaking ridiculous. I don't, it is a tack driver. It's a really, I mean, for a stock gun, because I've done nothing to it. It shoots excellent out to 600-700 yards with a
Right.
22-250, 40, I think I shoot 50 grain bullets out of it.
No, dude,
Something's, I
that's
mean,
awesome.
yeah, right? But it's so heavy, I don't want to carry the damn thing. I don't want to
Right.
shoot it. I never shoot it because it's not, it's okay to shoot from the truck. But if I got to hike anywhere with that gun, I don't want to shoot it.
Yeah, man.
So I've been trying to find somebody that had a stock for it. And I was thinking about changing the barrel at one point, but again, nobody, you know, nobody makes a barrel for that. Because that action, I love that action. And that trigger, it's got a set trigger.
Right.
You know, you push it forward and it's a half pound trigger, you know?
Well, the first thing we're
Because
going to do for you is we're going to tell you to put it in the safe because we're going to have a Crux rifle out there for you. You don't have to worry about it. But in the meantime, while we're doing that, you know, our next progress is that we're going to bring all, you know, CNC and leading into the house. So
Okay.
basically, what that's going to give us is even better to custom fit exactly what you said.
Okay.
And
Cool.
instead of you getting with McMillan, which they're a great company, they've always have been, but we need to, you know, we can't wait 6 months, right?
Yeah,
So
yeah.
basically, that's the whole point of that. But
Nice.
yeah, no, we can get you taken care of, man.
Cool. I'm excited about that. It's been a basically it's been a safe princess for since I've owned it, you know.
Right.
It's
No, I
all
hear you.
it's hasn't been shot enough. It's a cool gun. I've always enjoyed it. But yeah, it's just entirely too heavy. So we're gonna look at building me a rifle. I'm not sure what I want to go with. I want something for my that I can use for my guiding clients.
Yeah, man.
Definitely a coos deer rifle. We get a lot of javelina hunters. So I'm thinking something. Oh, I'm gonna look to you. What are you thinking caliber wise would be a smart thing? You know, I was thinking 6.5 Creedmoor, 6.5 PRC, something like that. But then I was also thinking because my buddy just put together a 6 millimeter Creedmoor and he loves the thing, you know, he's shooting
Right.
115 grain bullets out of it. And my cousin Anthony, I don't know if you ever talked to him about his 243. That thing's ridiculous. And
Right.
I think that's shooting, he's shooting 90 grain bullets out of 97 grain bullets or something like that. Something that's not gonna like just blow up an animal.
Yeah, man. I mean, meat conservation, of course, is on the list, but we need
Yeah.
that knockdown power, right? So,
Yeah, exactly.
you know, all those calibers you said work out great, man. And like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I latched on to the 6.5 PRC before it was a thing, you know, well over a year ago, and I shot it, and I'm like, man, this is a Mexico caliber, right? So I took it down to Mexico, and I shot, you know, I shot the first coos deer I ever killed with a PRC, because I think, you know, I'm like, man, because everybody was doing the 6.5 gap from George Gardner, you have to reload for it. But my whole point was the factory ammunition, $35 a box ammo, and it's shooting like it does. You know, I shot a coos deer at 620 yards, quartering towards me,
Nice.
and it was lights out. The recoil is so minimal compared to what it is. I was able to see the impact, you know, rolling into before that, we shot my wife shot a mule deer at 540, you know, and you know, women and kids, they don't like recoil as much as we do, but
No.
it affects them a lot more, right? So
Yep.
they can comfortably shoot that. So honestly, man, I think the 6.5 PRC could really be effective for you and your clients. We
Okay.
shot and we shot some javelina with it. You know, and how do I say this? It wasn't like we shot them with a 300 Win Mag, but I mean, you know, they were still blowing.
You see that video of my client shooting it with my 300 rum?
Oh
It like
yeah. It's nothing like that.
splatters out the backside. I mean, yeah, it's
No, man. I think that would be a good fit for you and your clients for sure.
Yeah, because I was on the fence, you know. I didn't know, but I
We still
mean,
can decide. That's just my
yeah,
two cents.
6.5 PRCs. I mean, that it was definitely one of my front runners, you know. I was right there, 6.5 Creedmoor, 6.5 PRC, 6 millimeter Creedmoor, or that maybe even the 243. It was one of those four rounds that
Right.
I was, you know, re really interested. I did look at the 28 Nosler, but then I'm like, that's going back up, you know.
Yeah, that's a hammer. That's
Yeah.
a lot of
Yeah.
energy, man. And I've killed enough with the 6.5 PRC now that it's my North American gun, man. I mean,
Yeah.
I'll take it to Alaska all the way down to Mexico. So
Nice.
I'll shoot them all with it, so it does really
Well, I
well.
mean, you're the expert, so I'll lean on you for that. I'm totally open to it, especially at ammo that's not costing me. I mean, my 300 rum cost me freaking, when I'm not loading them, they're like $90 a box,
Oh yeah, dude.
it's ridiculous.
That's a big deal. So, and it shoots good. That the PRC stuff, I give it to Hornady. They figured it out. I mean, thank God. But it does really well for what it is. So,
Cool.
oh
Well,
yeah, man.
you got any other, I know you said you're going to go to Mexico. You got anything else coming up hunt-wise or no?
Let's see here. We got some late season just cow elk hunts. We got a hunt going right on right now. Of course, I'm in the office working, but I got buddies up there chasing some bulls up in some good units. Mexico, I'm gonna use that as my platform this year. Been really busy with work and the business and everything, so I'm gonna try to go down there with definitely one coos deer, if not two, and then try to mix in a mule deer with that, and then all the coyotes and javelinas I can shoot on top of that. So,
I gotta get you to come hunt Mexico with me. I got some ranches down there, and I got some outfitters too that I work with down there.
yeah, man.
But some
Let me
really good
know, of
guys.
course. You don't have to twist my arm too hard, trust me.
Nice. Where can our listeners find out more about Mesa Precision?
Man, the best thing to do, if you want to see rifles and pictures, and social media is a great place to contact us, that or connect with us and see what we're doing all the time. Just Mesa Precision Arms at Instagram, and then of course on Facebook. If you want to see about the rifles, the cost, what we do, it's hard to put every option out there, so we encourage people to look at our website, put a rifle build. We have a build sheet there that kind of tells you the price of everything. It's at www.mesaprecisionarms.com. And then you can sign up. Please sign up for our contact form so we can send you updates of everything. And then there's email. It's simple. It's info@mesaprecisionarms.com. And then you guys, anybody can ask me any question that related to the long range hunting, building custom rifles, all that stuff, caliber selection. We're here to help. So.
Awesome. Well, cool, man. I want to thank you for coming on. Thanks for dealing with the constant interruptions from my child and my dogs.
No worries, man. Next time I'm gonna bring my son and my daughter and my dogs,
There you go.
and we'll just all have a
We'll
good
just have a
podcast.
zoo going on.
Heck yeah, man. That's what it's all about anyway. That's what we do this for, those kids anyway. So.
Exactly. Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, John. Appreciate it, buddy.